I am in studio with Joan Moschino, State Representative from Hull. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Absolutely delightful. You got me in here on a sunny day.
Isn't it nice? And, I want to talk about a couple of dates coming up. First of all, it's the month of June. The fiscal year ends June 30th.
Correct.
But formal sessions in the legislature end July 31st.
Correct.
So you're working on a couple of deadlines now because of that.
Yep.
Now, when we say July 31st, after that, you're not just heading to the beach and hanging out in lounge chairs.
Oh, don't I wish. No. In fact, the legislature continues to work when what we call informal session. In fact, we meet twice a week. I think it's every 72 hours. You go into informal session and take up the business of the day, whatever's on the calendar of the day. And you can actually get a lot of work done in those informal sessions. Now, it has to be done by acclamation, which means that if one person objects to whatever's in front of the House that day, can stop and kill a bill. But for the most part, it's the sort of regular business that you get. So it doesn't end up being very contentious. And in fact, a lot of work can get done that way.
That's good. Now, it's interesting. We talked at the beginning of the session. Usually the session started, I thought it was close to 5,000 bills that get presented. No, it's probably closer to 7,000.
I think it was over 6,000 this year. Oh, over 6,000 bills this year. Oh, my God, yeah.
That's a lot to squeeze through a very narrow pipeline.
Now that we're getting down to the end of formal session, there's a lot of competition to try to bring forward good bills. A lot of good bills made it to Ways and Means and to third reading this year. So we're all in there doing what we can to see if we can find a path to the floor for a vote for our bills.
One of the issues we've been following with you, of course, is with local access streaming services, helping them to become more sustainable. What's the progress with that?
So some good news. We actually got a favorable report this time, which means that the bill moved with some edits. The bill moved to both House Ways and Means, and the Senate version went to Senate Ways and Means. And now what we're doing is just looking for a path to the floor. It's a small bill, and the House tends to do these bigger sort of omnibus bills, if you will. So we're looking for places, other big bills like economic development, that would certainly be one. That will certainly move at some point soon. But it could also be the Municipal Empowerment Act. The Gov filed that a while ago, and there's some good things in there that relate to this. So we'll be having that conversation with the Speaker's office and figuring out what we can see if we can actually move it forward. So no promises. We'll see what happens. We got that favorable report, and that was the important thing.
That's right. And typically, does something like this, can this get absorbed in a big bill or attached to it? Is that a way to make it happen?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And on the Senate side, they tend to move smaller bills individually, but on the House side, they tend to do it, it's sort of more in the aggregate like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So we'll see.
And so just so people know, we're talking about with local cable access, with the streaming services, with the cutback of cable, the money to fund those services has gone way down.
Right.
And you have proposed a portion of what the streaming services, which has kind of replaced the cable stuff, mm-hmm. which just from my own aside, seems like it's getting almost as expensive as cable was to cut back.
It's interesting when you literally look at how it's all working. People like to, they're interested in new technology, mm-hmm. and new ways of accessing their, entertainment media. So what we're really doing is we're just updating the law to keep pace with all those technological changes. But at the end of the day, the theory of change still holds, because you might be letting go of your traditional cable services, but you're still getting the internet. And that's how a lot of this comes through to you. So the theory of change still holds. And we're just saying, look, these cable companies made great investments, and it has just shown in wonderful programming and education for new up-and-coming producers and directors and performers, but it's also hugely important to our to transparency in government so everyone knows what's going on.
Absolutely, and what a service it is to be able to turn on and see live with town meeting, with select board meetings and other things, plus all the other shows they produce. Again, I just because we deal with so many cable companies, we do things in conjunction with them, cable access. I hope that there's a way forward, because as if not, I see this as another nail in the coffin of local news.
Oh, it's just, absolutely. And you can see it with all of the wonderful weekly papers have just gone the way of things. And, you know, the Hull Times is one of the last privately owned. Mm-hmm. And, you know, where else can you, you know, find that trusted source of hyper-local information and news and programming?
Besides WATD, of course.
Besides yes. WATD, of course. You guys are amazing.
Thank you. What about economic development? Where are we headed with that legislatively?
The governor filed a really great bill, and I was particularly excited about it because it contains a lot of investments in the green sector, right, the climate sector. And what they're really most simply stated doing is using a lot of the same kinds of strategies that we invested in biotech. Now they're looking to invest in the green tech sector. And we saw how that really just let that sector burgeon, and that's what we're really trying to do here with all of the green and the clean technology. It's going to become hugely important for us. I mean, Massachusetts has always been an innovation center. We've got all of the thought leadership and all these great universities. And, you know, what we're really doing is investing in getting these ideas from academia from the bench into commercialization, excuse me. So it's really actually kind of exciting, and there's a lot of really important investments, but then also tax credits and really using that array of opportunities to help the sector burgeon. And that keeps, you know, thought leaders and young people here. That's really about, you know, keeping jobs here, making sure there's good jobs for everybody.
And speaking of that, what about housing all these people? Affordable Housing Act. That's something that's on everybody's mind, whether you're downsizing or just buying your first home. Affordable housing, how can people afford to live here?
So we took a first step to really make some investments in tackling the housing crisis. So the House of Representatives took up the Affordable Homes Act, which if you've been listening to any news anywhere, you've been hearing either the governor or really it's probably been the lieutenant governor and the secretary have been really making the rounds, socializing all of the different strategies. And I think that the investments that they're proposing and that the House authorized there really going to be important across a range of either home ownership or rental properties. One near and dear to our hearts is public housing. I mean, there's investments of, like, I think it's $1.5 billion to renovate and to upgrade and make sure that public housing is green and that everyone is gleaning all of the benefits of passive housing and making those investments so that people really can stay in the communities. But then there's a lot of other different pieces to it as well. And so we were able to get one of my bills in there for permanent supportive housing. So think father bills. How do you keep people housed, get them out of shelter, off the streets, the modicum of supports that's paired with a stipend in housing. So that was pretty important too.
And of course, something that's caused a lot of discussion and unhappiness in some communities is that MBTA Community Zoning Act. I think a lot of people don't really understand what it is, and a lot of people are angry about that. Are you hearing anything about that from your constituents?
Oh boy, am I ever. Hingham Hall Cohasset all adopted that. Most simply stated, it's a zoning overlay, and it's just saying that if you have, it's asking communities to create their own plans and those technical assistance to do that, and to make those proposals of zones, where particularly around the MBTA commuter stations, for density, and it's just an overlay district. You know, we'll see if anything ever gets built. That's very prospective downstream. You know, whereas the Affordable Homes Act, you know, things like accessory dwelling units, those are things that could come online. A lot of communities already do them now, mm-hmm. and I've seen a few communities in recent town meetings adopt those. Because those are things that, you know, you can control in the local level, and things that you can actually bring online sooner to help keep, people in your district, right, as seniors downsize, or, you know, first-time renters and things like that getting a foothold in the community. So
when you say that the accessory dwelling units, do you think that people may have an idea that, oh, everybody's just going to build a teeny house in their backyard and rent it out, and it'll be, you know, the Wild West? But I don't think that's what the intention was.
No, that's not it at all. And in fact, the way at least that the House wrote that section of it does really give communities the ability to manage that in their community. So that bill, the Affordable Homes Act, actually now passed by the House, will go over to be taken up and improved by the Senate. Mm-hmm. And that what you're going to see is on the MBTA's Community Act, we'll see how many towns and communities get it through spring town meeting. Sorry, I stumbled over that one. But really, when you think about it, most of the communities have adopted mm-hmm. it. A few have rejected the plans that were presented, but, you know, they'll have another chance to do that, and we'll see what happens from there.
Do you have, say, like three big priorities between now and the end of the formal session?
So I have a couple of other good bills. One of the things that was in the Affordable Homes Act was an authorization to expand the service area of the MWRA for water, right? Because that's one of the big things that's been holding up some of the production. Think of the Weymouth Air Base. And so I have a drought management bill, and I think that pairs very nicely with it, right? Because we should be focused on conservation as mm-hmm. well. Shouldn't just be more, more, more. And since we experience so much drought. So we'll be having that conversation with the Speaker's office. Obviously, your favorite, House 74, which is the streaming services bill. We'll continue to have that dialogue and see if we can find a path for that one. But then we also have a few smaller bills that just really, you remember Samantha Bevins and the Youth Voter Engagement Act?
Yes.
Yes. And we finally got a favorable report for parents running for office, which would just allow a candidate mm-hmm. to use their own campaign money for childcare if they needed it. So, yeah, so we've got a few things that are out there that are still really good and that we're going to continue to work on.
That's excellent. So we'll be keeping up with that. Again, if people have any questions about you or want to be able to talk with you or someone in your office, Rep. Joan Moschino, what's the best way they can get a hold of you?
So everyone is always welcome to call the office at 617-722-2096. Don't worry, I don't answer that phone. My legislative aide does. He's very nice. But really, anybody listening, you know, state reps are here to help you navigate state government and programs and different things. So even if it's the parking thing for handicapped accessibility, you know, really just call your state rep. That is the bread and butter of our work, is to help people, and that's what we're here for. So
that's terrific. And again, that State Representative Joan Moschino of Hull, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Thank you.